Good morning, everyone. Let's get started here. I'm going to pull Coach Heather up for her, and then she will take over the call. How's everybody doing today? Heather, I'm trying. Hang on. Zoom is so touchy sometimes. All right, Heather, here you come. It's a good thing Heather's doing this call. My voice doesn't work very well today. Good morning, Heather. I'm going off camera now.
Hi, everybody. Kathy is an amazing wing woman. Zoom was not, it was being, what does Corinne call it? A donkey butt? It was not letting me sign into the call. So anyway, thank you, Kathy. Kathy is going to be in the chat for all of you this morning. Before you tell us where you're from in the chat box, go ahead and change that, to everyone from hosts and panelists. This way we can all see your chat messages. This is the 55 plus weight loss coaching call. Good morning, everybody. You're going to need some water, and I always recommend that you have a pen and paper so that you can, make some notes from everybody who, raises their hand and gets coached today. And maybe hopefully today that's you. I always recommend that you are open to coaching if you are not getting results for sure, or if there's something in the way that you've been grappling with and trying to work on. I mean, I love that you all are here, but this really is your chance to get coached by your coach. We all do these calls along with Corinne and MJ, and we offer this for you because you do have coaches here in OBS, and we are here to help you. I want you to troubleshoot and bring your issues. Whatever you're afraid that you might be worried about if you raise your hand, and here's how to raise your hand. Go down to reactions at the bottom, click that, and then click raise hand. That is going to show you some emojis. There's the hand clap right there, and it's also going to allow you to raise your hand. So go ahead and raise your hand if you want coaching. I want to be specific though. This call is reserved for members of No BS who are aged 55 and over. This is your coaching call. It's open to the public, so you're welcome to be here if you're another age, and there's certainly tons to learn from here. But we do want to reserve these calls periodically for that group. We call them the Flamingos, and they have a big group, a big subgroup on for Facebook, and I'm in there a lot, and they're a wonderful group. So I don't see anyone with hands raised. Y'all, right? Raise your hand. Let's see. Let's see. Come on. So everybody has time management all set. You manage your time like a boss. You're getting all the results that you want. You have everything all set. If that's not you, raise your hand. I promise I won't bite. This is your chance to get coaching. Sarah, it only Hey, Kathy, can you go in the participants list and see if you can pull up Sarah, because it's only giving me the option to chat with her. I think you might need to help me pull up people because I'm not maybe the originator of the call. All right. So take a drink. So to hold your hand up, you're going to go down to reactions and then raise hand. There, Sarah. Sarah, would you go ahead and unmute yourself so I can hear you? There.
Okay.
Hi, good
Good
morning.
morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually down in the basement. I had surgery on Tuesday, so I'm like hunkered down away from dogs and everything. And so I took a leap and I'm like, I'm gonna get coached.
I'm so proud of you. I mean, really, I'm sure you're a little nervous. I mean, I get a little nervous on these calls. It's so normal. And here's the thing, when we ask for help, and guidance, to get a different perspective or whatever. Like, it's supposed to feel a little shaky, a little nerve-wracking, a little fearful. That means you're in the right place. So be really proud of that.
And I knew after like not showering or doing anything since Tuesday that I was like, I really need to be coached if I'm willing to go on. And
yeah.
I think your setup for that just made it seem very comfortable to raise my hand. So I appreciate that.
You represent a lot of people on this call and that how much they feel the same. And in you, they will hopefully raise their hand now so that I have a bunch of people to coach after you. So thank you for going first. All right. So how can I help you with coaching?
So I have been listening to the time management. I love the 2 minute to 10 minute thing because I am such a time waster with being on like my phone and like at night and not wanting to be on it and not doing what I should be doing. So I am doing like the baseline of planning and assessing, but
you
mostly
are or are not.
I am like,
okay.
If I look at my habit tracker, those things are regular. I have an accountability partner that's, we've been at this probably for about a month, and that's a promise we made to each other.
Right.
And so because of that promise, I'm doing it that. I am what's it called? Legacy as far as
you've been in the membership more than a year.
Yeah.
Great.
I have been I think because of like procrastinating and just not, I'm just not committing to what I should be committing to. And I don't know if procrastinating is the right thing, but I have been noticing my weight creeping back on again. And I've been afraid of that. And have reached out to no coaches, but I just am not making the next step to be
okay.
There for myself.
All right. So there's a couple of things going on here. One, you're associating with scrolling at night, mm-hmm. with procrastinating all the time. So yeah, you might be scrolling at night, but let's look at that particular part of the day.
Okay.
When you scroll at night, is your intention to do something different?
Yes.
Okay. What is that?
My intention would probably be to read, just because I don't sleep. I don't get in my sleep. And I don't sleep well. So I know that scrolling at night doesn't aid me getting to sleep. So
what time are you scrolling?
I head to bed probably about 10 o'clock and I can scroll for easily an hour to an hour and a half.
Oh,
or
okay.
Try to up level on a game or that type of thing.
Do you have your book by your bed?
I do.
Okay. Is it a physical book or do you read on your Kindle on your phone?
It is a physical book.
It's a physical book. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just do a creative visualization exercise.
Okay.
You're in your bed, it's 10 o'clock, and you're scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. And then all of a sudden, Coach Heather is right there next to you. And I'm like, hi, Sarah, how come you're not reading? What's your answer?
It's more fun to see what the royal family's doing. And so, and I might need to do this next level, but then on the other side of me is like, you know, you need to sleep and reading your book helps you go to sleep.
Okay. So this is really about like boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Like healthy boundaries. And I think that probably inner Sarah is a little worried, like, don't take my phone away. Like, this is so fun. Of course. It's like, it's a dopamine generating machine, right?
Yes.
And your brain is just dining on all of that dopamine that the phone gives us when we scroll. So how about that? I'm going to make a suggestion. We see we're all in the action line here. Notice this. I think it's going to require some experimentation on your part, just generally. But here's one example. You tell me if you think this resonates for you. Maybe if you could, before 10 o'clock, give yourself some time to scroll. So you're not like taking away the thing that's giving you the dopamine and kind of like the mindless pleasure, but that by a certain time, maybe you set an alarm, you definitely say, okay, this is when I put the phone to bed. And the only thing I allow myself to do is just pick up the book from the time my body is in the bed.
Okay. That would work.
What comes up for you that might be in the way? Like when you think about pulling the trigger on this, what do you think?
Really, I mean, honestly, nothing, because when I have done it, like when I plug my phone in away from my bed, I feel so satisfied at
That's
that.
so good. Yeah, like good for me. Like I put this thing away.
And I even made her, Pam from Chicago, we met up because Kieran had a meetup group, and so she talked about a star chart. So I even made a little star chart because I'm a teacher and we have those little reward cards. So when I put my phone away, I do put a sticker on my star chart.
Oh my gosh, that's
But
amazing.
yeah, that was not my idea, but I do love, so I have all these little star charts that up for different things. But even sometimes, like the act of just doing that, I'm like, why are you holding yourself back from doing that? And but I think in saying that, I'm going to put my star chart next to my bed, because I have
Right.
it hung up on a board. I think I'll have that putting my phone away star chart on my bed
Okay,
by
perfect.
my
So we
bed.
have some what we call do goals for those of you listening or watching. Do goals are the actions that you know such that if you do them, you're pretty much going to be very close to being able to follow through on what you want to do. And so that's having an alarm go off, maybe to start your scrolling and maybe finish your scrolling.
Oh,
And then go ahead.
I like the idea that it's instead of like stopping me from doing something, it's
It's
like
like you
permission
get
to
to go
start
do
doing
it.
something. Yeah, that's a totally
Yeah.
different shift. Okay.
Yeah. Like I coached somebody who's in retirement and she had the same thing about scrolling. And we looked at her to-do list and there was literally nothing fun on there. Like she was just a worker, right? Like just a taskmaster, incredibly productive. And she's like, "Well, I'm scrolling on my phone and I don't understand why." And I said, "I do. Your brain wants some pleasure. I mean, it really does run on dopamine." And so, as we lose weight and we take away some of that extra dopamine from overeating, we have to be really strategic about working in sources of dopamine that are sustainable, that don't create consequences like weight gain, right? By the overeating. So, not that scrolling is the best or highest idealized way to get dopamine, but as long, my point for her was plan it. Give yourself what feels like a doable amount of time that isn't too much, that gives you some of that pleasure in your brain. And then once you have that and you give yourself permission to have it, it's just like planning foods that are like the good foods. You know, once your brain starts to realize we get to do this every day, there's just limits on how much, then your over desire to do that thing will start to decrease a bit.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And I love the stars. I love all that. Now, I want to just leave you with this to keep in mind. When that alarm goes off to go into bed and do the less delightful thing, which reading is still delightful. So make sure your book is good. Right? Make sure. But it probably can't compete with the scroll. So just expect that you're not going to want to.
Okay.
Like a lot of times we're like, oh, I should want to. That's when I'll do it. And I'm like, no, you're never going to want to. You're going to do it anyway. I mean, think about brushing your teeth. Are you like, oh, I have to want to brush my teeth to brush my teeth? No.
Not usually. No.
You
No.
just make it a non-negotiable thing that you feel like or don't feel like. It's like it's a moot point. You just do it. So for you to get good sleep, which is so critical for weight loss and feelings of well-being, you just had your surgery, you want to heal, you need all of that rest. It's like make sure you tell yourself the lush story, then expect yourself to not want to do it and then say, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. And I
Yeah, and I
love that
think,
you did the star.
oh, thank you. And I think because in the morning time, I thought I get up early and I'm so excited about the amount of time that I have to do things like make my plan. And then that time kind of just wastes away. So I feel like setting the alarm of, okay, you have like the 10 minutes of wasting your time away, but then there's an ending point. So I can see other areas where I can apply it to that have been a little
Yeah.
frustrating for me. So.
Yeah. All right, so I can't let you go without talking about why you're not losing weight. So if you look back, when did you last weigh in?
It was right before surgery I weighed in. So,
Okay.
yeah.
How do you think your habits around food have been since surgery?
Actually good since surgery because I have to have my food brought to me. I definitely have been eating like previous to that, just like everybody else, like where work isn't as comfortable right now. So I've definitely been using it as a soother and
So
eating.
what's happening that work isn't comfortable? Can you explain that to me?
My job has changed a little bit. I'm a li in the library, and so like I'm not the person. I used to like read the books to the children, and that's changed where I'm just the one kind of scanning books. So like my identity a little bit has changed in that way. And then, I think just like we're in a school district where there are a lot of parents that are feeling like certain books shouldn't be in children's hands. So we're going through kind of like book banning things that I don't believe in, or attempts at that kind of thing. So just those kind of uncomfortable situations for me,
Okay.
that kind of
So you've
thing.
got some hard feeling thinking that create emotions while you're at work. So when you can't read to the kids or you see something come through administration about how you're going to be handling as a policy the books and such, that might trigger some of these emotions. So if you don't want to be eating over that, I want you to make a plan for how to emotionally take care of yourself when these things happen. What comes to mind for you for that? Like when you catch yourself at work, like emotionally overeating, like what is the feeling you're trying to distract yourself from, or what's the thought? Like, can you identify it?
And it's usually when I come home from work. I mean, so it's like, so again, things that I've heard coaching on a lot, but where I think it's just like the release of coming home. I've just started, thanks to Instagram, like started doing a little like watercolor doodling thing. So that would be something that would be easy that I really like doing, to kind of have that on hand. I've even thought
I
about
love that.
just sitting in my car for like 10 minutes and decompressing. Or I know if I'm in the same, like if I go into the room that's next to the kitchen, like having the kitchen in close proximity isn't, it makes it easy to get to the food kind of thing. So maybe just removing myself from that area.
Okay. All right. So a couple things come to mind for me for this. I love that you have some relieving, enjoyable things planned for after work. But I want you to work on the front side of all of these negative emotions kind of piling up. Because if they do, you're going to come home emotionally dysregulated, right? You're going to be carrying these hard feeling thoughts and the momentum of your feeling throughout the day into your evening, which is going to set you up for more urges. And the more like negative emotion you're feeling and you're above or below home base with your emotions, your emotional state, it's just harder to follow doable hunger.
It is.
So I like to talk about it like some emotional, like some tension relief valves, if you can hardwire them into your working day to kind of offload some of this emotional tension. Some examples of what you can do are just a 10-minute journaling break while you have your lunch, maybe a meditation, maybe an affirmation. I don't know. What comes to mind for you? Anything?
Well, all of those are great suggestions. And I think like I think the journaling and just because that's something I'm going to the camp coming up because I'm not a journaler,
Good.
but even like I don't know, something about when you said it during at lunchtime, like I think that's a morning thing that I just don't tend to get in, where if I set 5 minutes aside for myself to journal about what's going on in the day, that would be great. Because at lunchtime a lot of times can become a gripe session.
Oh, yeah. I
And
used to teach
so,
eighth grade.
and,
I
yeah.
know.
So that just having that release at that time is a really good idea.
Yeah. And if you think about your day like that, there's like segments that you can emotionally regulate yourself in. One is from work until lunch, then lunch till the end of the day, then the end of the day until the evening. And you, those are all different versions of yourself. And touching back into how, like, I like to say three questions. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? Right? That's like, so that sounds a little weird, right? Like, who am I? Well, like, I'm Sarah in the morning, you're a librarian, right? Like, you work in the media center. That's your identity. Where am I going is, who do I want to be in my job this morning? Do I want to focus on the hard thoughts about the policies at school? Or do I want to focus on my kids and helping them, or whatever brings you a lot of enjoyment in your job? Right. And then what am I doing is the actions that you can take to help reconfirm who you want to be in that segment of your day. It's just a reorienting three questions that can help you. And like, what am I doing can be one of those tension relief valves. Maybe it's just like hand to heart, like take a deep breath. Like, I'm okay. Like, I may not like what's going on in school right now, but I'm okay, you know, and you can just do some breathing to help bring yourself back to hopefully closer to home base, so that you don't arrive at home like totally upset or emotionally dysregulated.
And I love the three questions too, because then that kind of takes the brain part away of what am I going to write about? So that's really helpful.
Yeah. You could just answer it. Like, who am I in this moment? Like, what hat do you have on? Right. Cause we all wear many hats. Who am I? Where am I going? Meaning, what is it that I want to create in this segment of my day? How do I want to leave for lunch today? Do I want to leave like completely overworked and I wouldn't have even peed and I'm starving and I've not drank all my water, you know? Or do I want to be hydrated and, you know, like aware of how I feel and things like that? You can just explore it.
Okay.
That's okay.
Awesome. So much.
I wish you all the best healing from surgery. Thanks for raising your hand.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Sarah. Kathy, would you mind helping me with my participants again? I have like no control here. I don't know what's going on. And this is like, whoever I get is who I get. I don't know. It's very exciting. Yeah, Kay is writing it in the chat. Who am I? Use your future self, even if it's for that part of the day. Where am I going? Meaning, what is it that I want to accomplish in this segment of my day? And what am I doing? What are my action goals related to, like, who, how I want to show up today in an intentional way rather than a reactive way? Okay, so I need another person to coach. Kathy, I assume you're promoting somebody. I've got four hands raised.
Hey, Heather, I've got somebody pulled up. J.M. Bullock. Do you want to turn on your video so Heather can see you, please?
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Here I am.
Kathy,
good morning.
Thank you so much. Hi, what is your first name?
Jill.
Hi, Jill. Welcome.
Sometimes on Zoom, it just shows up as my email address. But anyway, I raised my hand because nobody did. And it's like,
well,
I'm here.
So
I might as well get coached.
I love it. What are we coaching on?
I'm really enjoying the time management. I've been retired for 10 years, and so I didn't think I needed this kind of help. Ha ha. I do. But one thing that I struggle with is I have in my head breakfast time, lunch time, dinner time. And I'm trying to convince myself that, you know, because it's noon, I don't have to eat lunch. You know, I can eat lunch when I'm hungry. And I'm kind of getting past that. But then also after dinner at night is downtime.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm just kind of wasting the time because, like Sarah, I'm scrolling and playing games on my iPad, and my husband and I are in the same room in our respective recliners, not speaking to each other. Not because we don't like each other, but it's just like we both have our heads in something else.
Right.
And I need some help, I guess, figuring out how I can get rid of those like predetermined times in my life. Like,
okay.
Like you coach Sarah on reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to be a reader, but I don't because, you know, I'm in my iPad.
Okay. So I think it's important to stress how much of what we do is relegated to automatic habits playing out without our conscious awareness.
Yeah.
Now, when you were working before you retired, I'm sure there was a reason why you had containers of time that told you when it was time to eat.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Like,
well,
how
sure.
How many years were you in your professional field?
A little over 20.
Yeah.
I got my accounting degree when I was not quite 40. So.
Okay. Yeah. So that's 20 years. And, you know, it obviously worked at the time. That's how you thought about it. And therefore, those associations with that time of day are going to be deeply tracked into your brain. And so,
sure.
What we're talking about is creating new habits of thinking about what is the criteria that I decide about when it's time to eat now that I don't have professional constraints that sort of limit when I can eat. We see this with shift workers, nurses, doctors,
sure.
teachers, all of that. So, it's about creating new habits is what it really is. And so the first step for creating new habits is just to notice when the old ones are playing out. Like when you catch yourself having lunch and you're eating and you're like, I didn't even check in to see if my stomach was even hungry. That is actually part of habit change. It's the first level. And it
notice.
Can feel really frustrating
okay.
because we're like
uh-huh.
not catching it ahead of time. But this is the first phase of change. It's increasing the awareness. So every time that you notice you eat by habit or by the clock, you are starting to interrupt that habit from playing out. And, you know, you can take massive action and be like, nope, I'm going to put my salad away because I just remembered I'm not hungry. And you can try it then or not, right? Just noticing is very effective. And it goes a long way to bring you to the second phase, which is you start catching the habit much more often, like 40-60, instead of 20% catching it, 80% old habit plays out. The next phase is 40-60. So you increase to about 40% of the time. And the key with it is just a ton of practice and repetition. The brain needs this because you spent 20 years being safe with that old way of eating. And the brain's like, well, we're not just going to change on a dime. You know, we want to make sure that this is okay. And if it's safe and if it's working. So one way to help that process along is when you do wait for hunger before you eat, I want you celebrating the hell out of it. Like arms in the air, like victory arms. I don't care if you give yourself a star like Sarah did.
Yeah.
Like you got to mark the new behavior as optimal. Get a big dopamine hit from that. And when you do that, guess what happens? The new track starts to lay down in your brain for the new habit. Have you ever changed a habit? Quit something or?
Oh, I quit smoking.
Okay. So tell me how
big.
That was for
yeah.
you. Did you try for a while to stop?
It's been 17 years, so it's hard to remember how. I just know it was hard. But
yeah.
I mean, that was definitely a habit. You
right.
know?
You knew that you were going to want the cigarette, right?
Yeah.
And you had to spend some time like gathering evidence about why this old habit, like you didn't want it anymore while you were still smoking. And then eventually you tried to stop. And then maybe it wasn't always successful, but you still came back. And that's what I want you doing here. Just the same thing. Sometimes you'll eat from the clock. Sometimes you'll catch it ahead of time. Whenever you notice and or can catch it ahead of time, celebrate it, give yourself tons of kudos, and just give yourself a ton of practice. Now, do you have a hard time like noticing when you're hungry?
No, breakfast and lunch seem to be a little bit easier because, you know, I've found that if I eat breakfast just because it's time to eat breakfast, yeah, I'm into my coffee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think lunch and dinner maybe are harder.
What's or hard in your memory of when it's been hard? Can you kind of paint that scene for me so I can see what's going on there?
Well, I think, you know, going way back when we were kids, we ate at like 5:15 as soon as dad got home.
Mm-hmm.
And you better be there. So I think I kind of have that, you know, it's time for dinner.
Well, yeah. And that notice how the you better be there part.
Yeah.
Like dials in for your younger mind. I'm safe as long as I better show up at the right time or I'm going to be in trouble.
Oh,
now
I
you
never,
see there's an element of safety here that's important for you to have a conversation with inner you.
Yeah.
When you're like waiting for hunger for dinner, that voice is going to be like, no, we should just eat, because it thinks from that old habit, that's what's safe.
Yeah.
And so a lot of reassurance, like it's okay. And we can wait for hunger and let's just see how it is. And when we get hungry, we're definitely going to eat. No one's in trouble here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I see, like, you know, my day kind of in segments. And it's just like I have my morning routine where I plan and assess and journal and yada, yada. But it seems like in my mind, in the afternoon, like 4 o'clock is like quitting time. Mm-hmm. That's when I have to quit what I'm doing and I have to fix dinner. And I don't, because we don't eat that early.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to expand that, you know, end of the day thing.
Yeah.
Later and make better use of that time.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, like, I have this German Shepherd and she's always been trained 5 o'clock is dinner. And so when we change the clocks, she's so upset and confused. She's like, what's happening? And that's kind of like our brains when we change the circumstances under which we want to operate. There's some confusion going on. Like, I should be doing something different. So normal.
Yeah.
All you have to do is present safety and a compelling reason to take the new action anyway. So just be like, we're just trying something new. Like, don't worry about it. Like, this is going to be great. This is how we're going to lose weight. We're going to wait for hunger before we eat. And then you can maybe also make it lush. Like, I have such freedom now. I don't
That's
have
true.
To live my life by the clock anymore. And when I don't need to be certain places at certain times, I can bring in some of these other things that you're talking about that you want to bring into your life. So could you mention that, like, after dinner, I want to start doing different things. So what are some of those things?
Well, I just wrote today when I was doing my plan, I've been keeping a little to-do list on my planner, is to read a chapter of Lessons in Chemistry, which is a book that I'm about halfway through, and now it's coming out as a movie. And so it's just like, so what if I just read a chapter? And I'm thinking that if I just read a chapter before I, you know, picked up the iPad and that stuff, it might turn into more.
Well, yeah. You know? And I love that. I call that strategy, if this, then that. So if we do this one thing that we don't have an established habit or even a lot of desire to do, if we do that first, Then we get to the thing that we know we want to do.
Right.
So how can you set yourself up so that, like, pulling the trigger on that, if this, then that, is almost effortless? What would you have to do?
I think I would have to have the book beside my chair.
Yep.
Ready to read.
Ready to go.
Yes. And I don't know. That's just the first thing that comes to my
would
mind.
Would that phone be like, pick me up, pick me up?
I might want to move the iPad and the phone away from the chair. Good point.
Yeah. Because
Good point.
So try to take the temptations and just move away, move it away from you, and just reassure, we're going to have this, but we're just starting this new reading habit. It's going to be great. And talk to yourself about how awesome you're going to feel on the other side of doing the thing that you actually don't want to do in the moment. Like, I know that you want to read, and this is the nuance that I think gets a lot of us. We can logically say we want to read in the evenings, but in the moment, you're not going to want to do it. And that's so normal, because your brain just wants to do that old tracked habit that it's used to doing. That will always be preferable than any new habit, no matter how compelling. And so you just expect you're not going to want to do it.
Sure.
And then you do it anyway.
I'm
I want you to
to
see yourself as somebody, like, I always use Corinne as this, because this is, you know, I admire this so much about her, is that she does shit she and she talks about it like this. She does shit she doesn't want to do all day, every day. But she has small containers in time, limited containers of time in which she asks herself to do that kind of performance. And then she gives herself plenty of rest and other things when, you know, and I'm talking about her professional work, of course.
Sure.
And so, but any new habit that you're trying to establish is going to fall in that realm of, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think in retirement, it's like, I don't feel like doing it right now, but, you know, I could do it tomorrow. So I think having more time is sometimes hard.
Okay.
Well, it makes it easy to put things off.
I agree with you. And that is a real consideration for those of you who are retired. But I would just say this. Tie it to who you want to be. Your self-identity. If you're in retirement, you don't have time to waste. You worked your whole life to get to this point.
Sure.
And retirement is waiting for you today. So why would you show up as the professional working version of yourself with her habits when you can start to do those things that you've been wanting to do for so long? And,
Good
you know,
point.
That's a, like, just tell yourself, like, I'm no longer like a professional person who just needs to relax and decompress. I have the days that are of my own design now. And so this is the time for me to be the reader in retirement that I always thought I wanted to be. And I just start one chapter at a time.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I will.
Lessons in Chemistry is out on Apple Plus.
Is it?
The two episodes are already out.
Oh, wow. I got to hurry up and read the book.
It's so good. I read it last summer.
Yeah.
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 All right.
So,
well, thank you.
All right.
So
thank
much,
you
Jill.
So much.
Okay. Yeah. Kathy's going to bring you down and then bring me somebody else. Thank you, Kathy. All right. Everybody hydrate. Let's hydrate.
Heather, you've got Lee coming in here very shortly.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, we're waiting for Lee. Those of you on the call, what are one or two of the takeaways that you had from Jill that you can apply to your own life? go ahead and just like put them in the chat. It will help you if you're looking to establish one of like a new habit for yourself. It will help you start to track that new habit in your brain by just typing it and kind of owning it and then hopefully taking it with you. Okay. Hi, Lee. Is
Hi.
it Lee? Am I pronouncing it
It's Lee.
correctly?
Yes, it is.
Hi, how
Like
are you?
Vivian Lee, Scarlett O'Hara.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so how can I help you today?
Well, I joined about a little over 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. It was right after the challenge.
Okay, welcome.
And thank you. And I joined the Flamingo shortly after that, and the a couple other Facebook groups. And I turned 60 this year, and I'm not retired. Retirement is not in my near future.
Okay.
So I work for myself, so I basically work all the time. I really have
Yes.
to plan whether I'm going to be doing something other than work or side jobs or whatever I have to do to finish work at home.
Okay.
So it's hard to separate time for myself and not feel guilty.
All right.
And that's one thing. And then lately I have. Well, little background, the past year or so, I've been trying to lose weight and I have a lot to lose. 100
What's a
pounds for
lot? How
sure.
much?
100 pounds,
Okay.
according to my doctor.
Is that
Not
what
just
you
me
want to
thinking about it
lose?
that way. Do what?
Is that what you want to lose?
Yes.
Okay.
Right around that. If I lost more than that, that'd be okay, but I don't expect to be able to do that. I wouldn't be skinny if I lose 100 pounds. So over that the course of that year, I lost 25 pounds
All
and I
right.
got really stagnated. I lost it by figuring out when I was full and
All
not
right.
eating anymore after that. So this program really spoke to me as to something I could do.
Awesome.
Well, since I joined, I've lost nothing. I've thought about food way more than I have been before
Okay.
in
So
making my plans and actually planning dinner, which I'm not good at that because I get home late. Not extra late, but I get home about a little over little before 7, so that's hard to cook after that.
okay.
I live here with my husband and our 23-year-old son.
All right. So you are making plans.
Yes.
Are
Oh, and I
you?
drink my water, but I did that anyway. I've done that for years.
Okay. And how's your sleep?
My sleep is terrible.
Oh, tell me about that.
Somehow couldn't go to sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning the past I don't know how many nights. And I
All
go
right.
to
Well, you
bed
must
at
have
like,
some inkling about why that is.
well, I think it's probably because I'm scrolling.
Oh, you're scrolling too.
Yes.
All right, Lee, why are you scrolling at night?
Because during the day, I do what everybody else needs me to do. And at night, I tend to want to do something for me. Now, I don't look at Pinterest and I don't do things like that. I write on my phone. I type on my phone. Some I guess could be considered journaling. And I have this little thing that I call what I thought today. So I think that would be journaling.
Okay. So
And
is
I
that
write.
what's happening as you're scrolling at night too?
Yeah. If I
Okay.
think of something, I'll write that on there.
All right. So I
And
have a
I
couple of
write
things for you.
poetry.
All right. So why, like, what was the change in how you were thinking about eating before you joined versus after you joined 3 weeks ago? That, because I assume you were losing weight before you joined, but since you
It took me a
joined, you said
year
you're
to lose
not.
25 pounds, so not very well.
Wait, what? Say that again?
It took me a year to lose 25 pounds, so I
No, but
wasn't
that's
doing
not what
very well.
I okay, that's helpful to just judge your rate of loss there. No.
I know
This
it's not
is not an
helpful.
invitation for you to beat up on your results, which are great. Okay. So don't pile judgment on top of anything. Let's get real curious, okay? So you said as soon as I joined, I stopped losing. Is that, did I hear that correctly?
No, I stopped losing before that, and that's why I joined.
Okay. Okay. So this wasn't a thing that coincided with joining specifically.
No, but
Okay.
I thought it would kind of kickstart things, and it hasn't.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that would create some new thoughts or some new actions, but it seems like that's not happening. So let's now compare your thinking and actions of late with what was happening when you were losing your 25 pounds. What's different?
I'm thinking about food way more and keep thinking about these things I want to cook and things I want to make.
Okay, so you have thoughts about food, but that wouldn't stop you from losing weight. Are you also overeating? Like, and when
I
compared
must
to when you
be.
were losing? Well, I want you
I'm
to really
stopping
think
when I'm
about this.
full, but I must be too much.
Well, go back in the Wayback Machine in your memory, because I want you to recall the weeks when you were losing weight. Like, go back there in your mind's eye. Think about like how you were eating, when you were eating, what you were giving credit to the weight loss that you saw on the scale, and compare that to what's happening now. What's the difference?
I'm really not sure what the difference is, other than it doesn't look like I'm eating more than I was at that time. And I am stopping when I'm full, and I don't eat till I'm hungry, but I get hungry because I'm hypoglycemic, so I know when I'm hungry.
Okay. So you're really not sure. Do you, let me ask you
No.
this. In the what time of year was it that you were losing weight? Like what comes to mind? A certain month this year or when? When was it that you were losing
Probably
the
more in the
25 pounds?
wintertime.
So this past winter, December like through March
Because
of this
I
year.
work a job that involves retail, and so between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I do a lot of things that I work more hours and a lot harder.
Okay.
And
So that could be
also
one
in those
difference.
kind of situations, I tend to forget to eat.
Okay. So we have one potential difference that could explain like the loss versus now when you're not losing. Okay. So now I want to clean up a little bit of your thinking around strategic approach to your habits around food. So it's normal to have a lot of thoughts around food, right? It's fine. It's fine to have thoughts. It's like a ticker tape in your brain. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to comply with the thought. And thank goodness, right? Right? We just think
Yeah.
thoughts about food. That's such a normal thing. And you said you know that when you know when you're physically hungry.
Yes.
Do you have a problem waiting until you notice you're physically hungry?
Sometimes, because I know. So, being hypoglycemic, when you get hungry, there's this line between being a little bit hungry and your blood sugar
Yeah.
crashing.
I've had hypoglycemia when I was a teenager, so I know exactly what
Okay.
you're talking about. So you don't
So,
want to wait for it to build. You want to eat pretty. Like, what would you say is your time period between when you feel that physical hunger and when you need to eat?
I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, pretty quickly. So that means you need to have a
So that's
plan.
between kind of sort of feeling hungry and 20 minutes later feeling like I can't function and I'm going to pass out.
Okay. So here's where I would challenge you. The first thing I want you to take away from the call is to really refine your hunger cues. Just because you only feel a whisper of hunger and then the cascade of hypoglycemia, which feels like you're going to die, right? It's horrible. There probably is some more nuanced signals that happen even before that first one that you notice. I
Right.
want you to just really like pretend you're in Italy learning how to speak Italian, right? You would be like listening for words, right? And that's you listening for hunger, listening for what are the circumstances under which I really go hypoglycemic pretty quick, and recognizing those situations and making sure that you have food with you that you can eat and such like that. The other
I know
part.
one of the situations is if the meal before that I didn't eat the right amount of protein.
Correct. Yeah. If it's all carbohydrates, you're going to have a spike and then
Well, I need
it's
a
going to
ton of
slam it down.
carbohydrates anyway because I'm gluten free too, because that doesn't like me either.
Okay. So wait. All right. But you have that under control. You like the foods that you're eating and it's
Oh,
working
yeah.
pretty well. Okay.
I've been doing it for 15 years, so yeah.
Okay. So the other part I want you to work at is stopping before you're physically full. Because the words that you used before were, I know when I'm full. So I want you to stop before you're physically full. This is
Okay.
what No BS asks. So it's an art, it's not a science. So we kind of move through hunger stages. Again, it's like trying to learn Italian in Italy, speaking none of the language. I want you to pay attention with your meals from when you notice you're hungry and you first start eating. And the first few bites are going to take you from active hunger to hunger disappears. Right? Then you're going to
Right.
keep eating. And then you're going to notice like it's kind of neutral. I'm not hungry, but I'm also not full. But I can tell that there's like food dropping in my stomach. So that's a certain number of bites between, oh, I'm no longer hungry and I'm noticing there's some food in my stomach, but I don't feel the stretching sensors of my stomach start to kick in yet. That's physical fullness. When you start to feel your stomach stretch because it's full, you want to be able to stop before that happens. So again, this is a process where sometimes you're going to overshoot it, sometimes you're going to undershoot it. And it's kind of like looking for, Bigfoot, like, where's
Yeah.
enough? Like, where is
I
this?
guess I'm fighting between trying to figure that out and making sure I have enough protein to make it 3 hours ahead of time without crashing. And I look at my plate, I'm giving half of it to the 23-year-old bean pole anyway. It looks like I'm not
Your
going to have
son.
anything to eat at all.
All right. Well, the first thing I want you to do is make sure that you have safety around food. Like for you, if you get triggered, like I'm not going to have anything left to eat, that's going to drive you to overeat, right? So
Well,
have
not
your.
that I have anything left to eat, that I didn't eat enough protein to take me through to not crash in 4 hours.
Okay. So do you with your ex. Your experience with hypoglycemia, you pretty much can eyeball how much a protein that is.
Pretty much, about
Okay.
4 ounces.
Okay. And where do you suppose 4 ounces of protein brings you in what I described for hunger going to enough? Does it bring you to not quite enough, you think, or what?
Yes,
Okay.
because I usually have some kind of vegetable or some other kind of, sometimes a carbohydrate like rice or something.
Okay. So you want to play with both of these things, but here's what I'm going to offer you. I try to see if you can stop at enough before you're full, even if you don't get in all that protein
Okay.
of what you think is enough. See, this is the thing about no BS. If what we thought was enough, we'd all lose all of our weight.
Right.
Our brain doesn't know. We have to bring the stomach in. Okay. And with you, it's just a situation with your medical diagnosis. You're going to need to have food with you in case you feel yourself getting hungry and you're going to crash. Okay. Right. And this is just something that you can reassure yourself, like, we're going to try stopping here before we're full. And if we get hungry, we're going to have a snack to get us through. And you can have that be a protein snack.
I usually have almonds or cheese with me.
Yeah.
And peanut butter is my rescue.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So how does that sound from what you've been doing? Do you think that'll get you results?
Instead of striving to stop when I'm full, I need to strive for stop slightly before I'm full.
Yes. Now, how do you think you'll know?
I'm not sure. I'm just going to have to listen to my body.
This is the thing. It's like that waiting for a big thing, but I don't want you to overthink it. Usually it's the thought, I think I might be at enough. And we just want to take that question and turn it into a statement.
And then wait for 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. Because usually it's usually not a strong thought. I call it like the whisper of the stomach. It's like, hey, if anybody cares to ask me, which nobody really does, we're probably at enough. And it's usually like the quietest voice in your head. Right. And so you just want to be like, I hear your stomach. Let's try it. Let's just see. And then you create safety around food by always having that snack. Let's see how often you can do that for at least dinner over the next week. Okay. And see what happened. What day do you weigh in?
Usually Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. Well, you can weigh in tomorrow. And then I want you to start 7 days of this and see how you do. Okay. And then I want you to write me and ask coaches, okay, here's your accountability and tell me how you did. Okay, Lee?
Okay. I got to avoid gluten too, because that'll put 3 pounds on that'll happen overnight. And then 3 days later, it's gone. So
yeah,
that's hard.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Figure out.
It'll skew your results on your scale. So, you know, and we can always work with that as a next level thing. So if you think that, make sure you have all your favorite foods, your favorite proteins, so that you're not tempted to eat like gluten, right? So you can run this experiment over the next week and get really good quality data results and see how it works for you. Because we want to get you results on the scale.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So one thing I can't let you leave without addressing your particularly shitty thought, which you said at the beginning, which was, I do what everybody else wants me to do during the day. So that's why I scroll at night. Okay. Now you told me that you own your own.
I feel
business.
Like I deserve time for me, right?
I know, but if you keep thinking that, well, you know, I do what everybody else wants. And so nighttime is the only time for me. This is what you're going to be doing.
I deserve it.
All night long.
Right.
So that thought isn't serving you.
Right.
And is it even true? Like, is some invisible hand of everybody like doing like this, like a marionette with you?
No.
No. I mean, listen, I want you to own the sovereignty you have over your life. This is your life. It's your business. And really, like, that you're running, right, during your working hours. So talk to the words that we use to talk to ourselves about what we do really matter with our nervous system. When you use words like I have to, need to, should, they're going to make you feel restricted with your time. And when you feel restricted, you're going to rebel against your own like self-interest later. That's the scroll at night. So I want you to start saying, here's what I choose to do. And guess what? If you're doing things during the day that you truly aren't choosing to do, you're just overworking to overwork. Well, then you've got some work to do there. I want you to make sure that your work life is doable and it's not putting undue pressure on you emotionally so that you come home exhausted and feeling like none of your time is your own.
Right.
All of your time is your own. Yes, we choose to go to work to pay the bills and buy groceries, right? But don't say you do it for other people, right? You do it for you. How does that land with you?
Feels like most of it's for me.
Yeah.
Because I provide a service and have due dates that I don't always have control over. That part I have trouble dealing with, I guess. And
Okay.
then I procrastinate because I didn't set the date.
So procrastination is because why?
Because my rebellious 13-year-old teenage brain says that you needed longer for that. They didn't give you longer, so you're going to take longer because you're going to rebel against this date.
Okay. I see what it is. So you're probably saying about the time they gave you, right? Like, that's not fair, right? I didn't get enough time. You feel very like at the effect of other people
Right.
instead of saying, like, this is my line of work. There's times when I just don't have the ability to affect like my working hours the way that I want to. So make sure when the times when those things aren't happening, that you're giving yourself more time to make up for those times when you don't have as much control. It's just like the first caller, Sarah, who was just scrolling, because she wasn't giving herself permission to do it, right? Like, so for
Right.
you, I want you to recapture your time on purpose, your time, when no one else can tell you. And I want you doing spending it the way that you truly want to spend it, even if that's 20 minutes a day. I mean, I don't care if you watch cat videos, but call it your time, right? So that we know, like, we give away our time on purpose for things that we don't always control, but we're okay with. And then we also have this sacred, sovereign time that's just for us, that's under our control. In this way, the rebel, right, will make sure that you do that. I want you to use the rebel in the service of you capturing your own time, not like sabotaging you.
I like that.
You see that? That's a
Yeah, there's
true
an aha
rebel.
thing.
A
Say that
true
again.
rebel. Yeah. And we see this with fuck it eating. Like, fuck
Right.
it eating isn't rebellious behavior. Fuck it eating is like the when the you, like, you get fucked. So that's
Right.
not true fuck it eating. That's not rebellious eating. Rebellious eating is saying, I'm going to make sure that even if I overate, it stops here because I'm on the side of my human, not other people.
Right.
Right? So you just got to direct the rebel for your own good. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
This was a very good call. Thank you for
Thank
raising your
you.
hand. Welcome to the membership.
Thank you.
Kathy, would you bring her back down? We're just over the hour mark. Thank you, everybody who raised their hands and got coached today.
Hey,
Make
Heather,
sh
there's one
yes.
thing in the Q&A that I would love for you to take just a couple of
Oh,
minutes
okay.
to address,
Sure.
okay?
Let's
And
see.
there, okay.
All right. Thanks, Kath. Please talk about if this, then that. I've never heard that before. Sounds good. Well, I mean, I used to use this with my kids. If you want to watch blah, 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 then you have to go out and play outside for an hour. So it's a way of kind of gamifying time where you use the more, the thing that is very appealing, you bring it after the thing that you don't really want to do. You see? So I do this with my coffee in the morning. Because usually I run the dishwasher at night, right? So when I get up in the morning, I want to have my coffee right away, but there's also a full dishwasher. So I always say to myself, if you unload the dishwasher, then you get coffee. And it's just a way for you to overcome what I've talked about in this call, which is just expect your brain to always like not want to do the thing that you know you want to do, whether that's just it's not as enticing as something else, or it's a new habit that's just not established yet. So if you can kind of do if this, then that, and you can bookmark it with something that's appealing on the other side of the thing you don't want to do, it can be a motivator. And it's kind of fun to play the game. I mean, I have unloaded the dishwasher in like 2 minutes and 10 seconds. That's how much I gamify things I don't want to do. I play little games just to try to get it done, you know? So I hope that helps you. Thank you everybody for coming in and being a part of the call. I really appreciate you. We are going to have a special call on Monday. Kathy is running it for the current events and a lot of the feelings and emotions that people are going through. This call was just added to your member calendar. Go to the homepage, to the member calendar, look it up. If you're having big emotions and you're having trouble sort of working through the situation, we want to make sure that it is, that you're supported and that you see some members getting coached on this. We don't get political here or religious in No BS, but we want to be able to make sure that you all have the tools to help yourselves and work through these big emotions that many of you are having. Okay. I think it's at, Kathy, do you want to come on? Is it 6 Central on Monday?
Yeah, everyone, it is 6 p.m. Central on Monday in this room, and you'll get more information about it in your email through the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Drink your water, make your plans. See ya. Bye.